Welcome to the E-Commerce Lab by eComsy. This is the place for everything related to Amazon private label and e-commerce. Learn exactly what you need to start or scale your business. Get insights from the top industry experts who will discuss the latest trends and best practices in the world of Amazon. From choosing products and sourcing from a supplier to setting up your Amazon account and marketing your business, you will hear it here. Let's get started. Here is your host, Vincenzo Toscano.
Hello, guys. Welcome to another episode of the E-Commerce Lab by eComsy, the place where I relate to Amazon FBA, private label, and e-commerce. My name is Vincenzo Toscano, founder and CEO of eComsy. And today we bring you Clayton, business and director at PixelMe, where they specialize on everything that has to do with external traffic. And that's going to be the conversation today, guys. Like, we see external traffic has been such a hot topic lately, specifically because, let's be honest, PPC is not getting any easier. And at the same time, we're seeing the huge benefit that external traffic can bring to your Amazon brand. Therefore, today we're going to be touching on that, also a little bit about DSP, and some secret topic we're going to unveil towards the end about, you know, how you can be successful beyond the technicality of running an Amazon brand. So, Clayton, welcome to the show. How you doing, my friend?
Hey, thanks for having me, Vincenzo. I'm good. I'm visiting my family for Thanksgiving in Missouri, and the weather is freezing. It's awful. not going to lie, I miss Puerto Rico right now. But I don't know if you can see, but I grew out my beard because I was doing some outdoor stuff, and I thought I'd be a Missouri man for a little while. But I need to shave it off and get back to who I actually am. But no, I'm doing great, man. Thanks for having me.
That's good, man. I feel you. Actually, just coming back from Asia, I was telling you that I spent a month there, and every single day, you know, some nice sunshine, 30 degrees, and now coming back here to London, 5 degrees, snow. So I feel you.
Yeah, you've been everywhere, man. I feel like you did in 2024 what I did in 2023. Like, I spent a little time in China this year, but every time I was on LinkedIn, I was like, he's in another country.
So yeah,
impressive. It's impressive.
Thank you, man. Thank you. And it's a pleasure to have you. So as I said before going live, you know, external traffic is something that we see people having a conversation more and more, and specifically for the things I just mentioned. And I'm sure you guys at PixelMe are doing so many interesting things when it comes to that. I have seen some of your presentations across all the different events I've been going to. So I'm keen to bring that knowledge to the podcast as well, because I'm sure a lot of our listeners will benefit from that. So I guess before we dive into that, maybe we can start with a quick intro about PixelMe in case people might not know the tool yet. And then after that, we can dive into a little bit about, you know, the learnings you guys are seeing with all the brands, what are some of the things that are working, what are some of the things that are not working, and go from there. Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds perfect. So for anybody that isn't familiar with PixelMe, the idea is that you use external traffic to feed the Amazon algorithm to help increase organic rank. There's, you know, if you have a cheaper product, meaning like $25 or less, and it's a one-time purchase product, it's pretty hard, Vincenzo, to be profitable from Google to Amazon. It's just pretty tough. We usually see about 5% conversion rates on average.
Yeah.
And usually the cost per click is about a dollar. So if you're selling a $25 product, you're spending $20 to sell it. So unless it's a, you know, subscribe and save, you know, repeat purchase, high LTV item, it's really all about increasing rank. So to keep it really simple, what PixelMe does is it connects via API to Google, Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok. And you can create a Google or a Facebook or a TikTok ad from within PixelMe. And then that traffic will go directly, we'll just say Google for this example, go directly from Google to Amazon. And then after it lands on Amazon, we use Amazon attribution to pull in the data into PixelMe about like what happened. You know, you paid all this money on Google. What happened to it? Did it lead to add to carts? Did it lead to purchases? What's your ACOS? What's your return on ad spend? And then we also connect to your Amazon Seller Central so we can calculate tacos over time. Because ultimately the goal is to send enough keyword traffic for blue shirt from Google to Amazon. You see the keyword rank blue shirt go up on Amazon. And then we calculate your tacos, right? The overall like name of the game is to increase ranks so you increase organic sales and drive more profit. So we calculate all that and pull it all in and track all that inside of PixelMe. That's the nuts and bolts of it. It's got a lot of fancy whistles and bells.
Yeah.
that's kind of what it is.
That's cool. And I like the fact that you make emphasis on, you know, the type of product that would work or not for this type of technology, because I agree, like there are certain products that if it's a single purchase, especially if the price is very low, might not be the right thing for you. But these, for example, products that have a recurrent purchase behavior, specifically things such as supplements, is gold, right? Because it's effectively you're focusing on going over that customer acquisition cost that could be lower outside of Amazon, bringing that customer to Amazon, and on top of that, then building that recurring revenue that can allow you to scale the brand forward. So I guess now as a starting point, because when it comes to external traffic, there's so many sources. What are some of the sources you're seeing being more effective? Because you could do email marketing, you could do social media, you could do blogs. There's so many sources you could embed these links and bring the traffic to Amazon. So tell us a little bit about what are some of the things you're seeing working the best when it comes from source of traffic.
Yeah, great question. I would say first and foremost, Google, I think, has the best effect on keyword rank. And that's because it's also keyword based, right? When you're on Meta or Instagram, nobody's searching in blue shirt. They're not searching. Yeah. They're not using Facebook and Instagram as a search engine, but they are using Google that way. So from all of our tests, we see that Google has one of the biggest effects on keyword rank. Facebook, actually, every time we've tested it with different clients, the return on ad spend is actually worse on Facebook and Instagram for most products, unless you're in maybe fashion and clothing. Google tends to do not that great for the, like, they do the opposite. Like, if you're on Google, I said blue shirt as an example, but usually we turn away people that are doing clothes. And the reason is because it's super shoppable. You know, if 10 people type in blue shirt, they probably all like a different blue shirt, you know, different cut, material, style, whatever, right? So, but if you type in hammer, people aren't shopping for hammers for like days on end. They're just like, I got a nail, I need to put it through a wall. Yeah. That's it. Facebook and Instagram tend to do better for things like clothing and jewelry, but everything else, Vincenzo, like honestly, we see usually the return on ad spend being worse there. And then it's impossible not to talk about TikTok when you're talking about external traffic. Now, Pixelmean, like all tools, we have a weakness when it comes to tracking TikTok traffic to Amazon. I'll just leave a long story short. It doesn't work. And it's not because Pixelme isn't working. It's because Amazon and TikTok are not talking to each other.
Exactly.
And there's a long story there. And yes, they did that thing where you can now shop on TikTok without, you can shop on Amazon without leaving TikTok. That's true. But the attribution does not work. And I think it's because TikTok wants to keep their customers on TikTok and doesn't want Amazon to be able to pull those customers away and have visibility on how they're performing. That said, I know a few different aggregators that I don't have like my own internal information on this, but they swear that every single launch they do, they push TikTok traffic to Amazon. It's cheaper. You get a lot of people that are on TikTok and might not click on the ad, but they'll go to Amazon.com and type in the brand. So it leads to like increased branded search. And it does lead to a lot of clicks and traffic and add to carts and purchases. So while I have not run my own test on TikTok, some people that I know in the industry that I trust and believe have pretty stellar results regarding the launches using TikTok. And then there's people like Paul Harvey with rankster.co that does a lot of good, math moving around to try to attribute, you know, sales that are coming from TikTok, because it is kind of this black hole. But you can look at other things. You can look at overall sales. You can look at growth. You can look at branded search. There's other like indicators that you can use. So I'm a big fan of TikTok, huge fan of Google, and I'm like lukewarm on Facebook and Instagram, depending on what your product is.
Cool, cool. Yeah, I think I agree the same. Like depending on the platform, the intention to our purchase could be completely different. And I like the insight that you shared that Google is heavily driven on keyword search, because somebody's looking for a specific keyword is more likely to convert them, right, than you trying to break a pattern in social media. Somebody just endlessly scrolling through specific videos and then you try to captivate their attention, taking them to Amazon. Now, when it comes to the whole strategy, I guess a lot of things I get asked as well is, on top of that, how I define the budget for this kind of strategies, right? Because we already defined that depending on the product, this could be more beneficial than others, specifically the ones that have a recurring behavior towards purchase. But when it comes from me as a brand to understanding how much money I have to put in these strategies, once I define the source, it also can be quite daunting because you don't know if you have to put $3,000, $2,000, $5,000. Like it could be sometimes random if you don't have an experience when it comes to that. So is there some guidelines you give usually to brand when getting started, how they could define the budget, lay out the amount of traffic, or it's like really trial and error? Like what is your take on that?
Yeah. Yeah, we've done a lot of testing on this. It's a great question. And not many people ask it. I think more people should ask that question. Mm-hmm. Where we start off at Pixelme is $25 per day. So about mm-hmm. $750 per month. And we've tested budgets of 50. We've tested budgets of 10. And we did a bunch of math. And basically, the long story short is that for most keywords, we usually target 3 to 5 keywords maximum. So usually the keywords that are driving most of your traffic or that you want to rank for or that you think, you know, are the most relevant. And the only exception I would give is if those keywords collectively start to go over 300,000 search volume. So let's say you have 5 keywords and they're all 20,000. That's collectively 100,000 in search volume. With $25 a day, we're able to move the needle and we don't see a big difference when we increase the budget from 25 to 50 or to 75. So I'm always looking for the cheapest option that gets me where I want to get. And so $25 per day is my quick answer. If you start to have keywords with 150,000 search volume, then we do see that you need to, you know, increase that a little bit, but not dramatically. If you get over 300,000 search volume collectively, I said 150, I meant to say 300. I'm saying mm-hmm. if you have 150,000 search volume and then a couple that are 75,000, then we do recommend starting off at $50. And we will keep that consistent at $25 or $50 in that example I just gave. And we'll never usually recommend increasing the budget ever unless you're directly profitable. So one of the accounts that I manage, they have like 75 products with us. All of their products are like $75 or $80 plus. Some of them are $300. And those guys, what we see is, you know, I explained that $10 or $20 product, the cost per click on Google is usually a dollar. When you start selling $300 products, the cost per click on Google is usually a dollar, maybe a dollar 50. It doesn't scale with the price of the product. And because in the US you get a brand referral bonus, if you're selling that same example I gave, let's say it takes 20 clicks to get a sale, you're spending $20 to sell a $300 product. Amazon attribution is going to give you a 10% brand referral bonus. So $30 back. So these guys have like dozens of products where they're actually getting more money back from Amazon than they're spending on the ads. Like those guys, they go gangbusters. They started off at $25 a day. Some of their products are spending $1,000 a day. Right. You just, as long as you can keep that profitability, you just scale it as high as you can go. And that's a cool part about Pixelme. We don't take a percentage of ad spend. It's just a flat fee. So those guys are getting more value than, you know, the average customer. But if you have expensive products, you should be using Amazon attribution. You should be doing external traffic from Google for sure.
Yeah. Now, in terms of the timeline, so you mentioned, of course, there's going to be a timeline toward becoming profitable. But I know for a fact that when it comes to external traffic, which is the wrong way of seeing things, sometimes they think this is a one-time thing and that's it. They think it's a silver bullet, which it isn't, right? It has to be part of the strategy in the long term, right? So I guess my question to you is like, do you feel this is something that you should always be part of your strategy in terms of you should always have some kind of external traffic working in the backend? Or you feel there's also some seasonality associated with it? Like maybe you do for a month, then you stop, you come back. What's your take?
Yeah. It's a really good question that people don't ask enough either. You're asking some good questions. Mm-hmm. This one couldn't have been better timed. We work with an aggregator that was aggregated by another aggregator. So when they got bought, they paused the Pixelme campaigns. They said, hey, we're going through a bunch of transitions. We don't know what this is. We're going to pause for now. They came back 2 months later and they said, on all the products that we paused, our rank is down, our tacos is up. And so they unpaused. And I just built a case study 2 days ago to help explain that. So when they were with Pixelme, everything was getting better. They paused for 2 months, everything got worse. And now they've been back on for 3 months. And now everything is as good as it was before they paused, if not better. So that is my quick answer is it needs to be part of your strategy. The thing that I'll add is that company I was just explaining that has 70 or so products with us, they have seasonal stuff. They sell some pools, they sell some outdoor patio furniture, things like that. And, you know, that's just not going to sell super well during the winter. So for some of those, you know, we have decided to pause some of them and then reopen them in the spring. For others, we have targeted like more southern locations with better weather and just lowered budgets. But of course, like that, if a product's not seasonal, I would say it needs to be part of your strategy. if it's seasonal, you know, you need to take that into account.
Okay, cool, cool. Now, in terms of, we already briefly mentioned the brand referral bonus, and I want to come back to this because I feel this is something that also people don't actually fully understand, which is not only you are benefiting from the fact that you're improving your organic ranking, but you actually can make money out of that. So tell us a little bit about how that's embedded on the whole essential funnel, like what people has to be aware of. Is there any limit associated with that? Can this work with any platform? So people can also understand that.
Yeah, good question. Well, first of all, brand referral bonus is only allowed in the United States. So it doesn't work in Canada or Mexico, Europe. Pixelme works in every single country that has Amazon attribution, you know, enabled. But the only place you get the brand referral bonus is in the US. But you don't have to be in the United States. You could be a Chinese seller or a seller from England. As long as you're you're selling products in the US, you're eligible for the brand referral bonus as long as you are brand registered. And it takes like 2 seconds to sign up. You need to make sure you enable it. But then that money is issued as a credit against your referral fees. And you'll see that on your invoice. There's no limit to the brand referral bonus. So you can have as many brand referral bonuses as possible. Amazon's obviously encouraging you to send traffic to Amazon. And there's no limit on how much they want you to do that. So there's no limit on the brand referral bonus. And yeah, you know, when you're selling a $20 product, it's $2 back. That's basically two clicks. I always think about it in clicks versus like what the cost per click is. But, you know, two free clicks doesn't hurt. It definitely helps. But when you're selling a $200 product or $100 product, you're getting 10 or 20 clicks for free. And that's where it can, you know, really, really help drive profit. But I tell people with lower priced products, even the people with expensive products, I tell them, like, don't focus on this bonus. The main benefit that you're going to get, even with these people that are, you know, directly profitable, it's great. Mm-hmm. But where they see the biggest booms in their business is by increasing their rank. You know, you can spend $1,000 a day on Google. That's awesome. And you can have a 2% ACoS, and that's awesome. But a lot of times there's 10 times that search volume on Amazon daily. And there's a certain budget on Google where you just can't buy any more clicks. Like, there's only so many people doing those searches per day. And if you're able to rank from number 10 to number 2 on Amazon, that's what's going to double your business or triple your business, not just purely profit on Google Ads. So that's the sexy part in my mind.
Yeah. Now, when it comes to TACoS and ACoS, I'm sure people may ask themselves, like, how you define that against your ACoS and TACoS on Amazon? Because I'm sure the metrics are going to be different because conversion is different, CPC is different. So is there some benchmarks people should be aware in terms of if this traffic comes from, let's say, Google, and then they go to Amazon and convert, and then that's tracked by Pixelme. What is on average a good ACoS or TACoS? Again, this is an open question because I know it might vary depending on the CPC and conversion. But on average, do you feel this is supposed to be higher to what you aim on Amazon or lower?
Yeah, I think generally the ACoS is higher when you're going from Google to Amazon. Google's more top of funnel. Some people are ready to purchase when they're on Google, but some people are just researching. You know, they're just still not ready to make that purchase yet, where Amazon is further down the funnel and the higher conversion rates. There's outliers to all of this. I've seen conversion rates be higher on Google than they are on Amazon, believe it or not. But generally, that's the exception, not the rule. Generally, ACoS is higher, and you should be looking at this as an investment, a necessary part of the strategy to increase rank. If there's 10 people bidding on the same keyword on Amazon PPC, as you mentioned earlier, cost keeps going up. It's saturated, it's expensive, but it's a necessary evil. You have to advertise on Amazon, right? It's part of the ranking algorithm. But if 10 people are selling this product and only one of them is running Google Ads to Amazon, you can bet that that one is moving up in rank. And it's a really loaded question to say, like, what's a good ACoS or what's a good TACoS? It really depends on where they're starting. But the goal is always improvement. I've seen people that have, you know, 1% ACoS and negative ACoS because the brand referral bonus is better. But then I've seen people with 300% ACoS on a $10 product, but they continue to use Pixelme because they continue to see their rank increase. I will say, as a rule of thumb, anything above 250% ACoS, which sounds sky high, but if you're selling a $10 product, it's, you know, you're spending $25 a day. This isn't a crazy investment. If you're ranking from 30 to 20 and then to 10, you're going to get a lot more organic sales. And we have a metric we call blended ACoS, which takes into account the increase in incremental sales you're getting from that increase in rank. And that's really the best metric, I think, to measure external traffic campaigns, is what I call blended ACoS. And What it does is goes into, I'm going to not get too nerdy here, but it goes into search query performance reports, pulls your average conversion rate multiplied by the price of your product, multiplied by your ownership of clicks on that keyword. So if you're, you know, number 10 on blue shirt, you're probably getting, you know, 5% of clicks. If we see over time that you're getting 15% of clicks, that means, you know, irrelevant of geolocation, that you're getting more clicks organically, and we can help, we can do some math and calculate what we call blended ACoS. Last thing I'll say, anything above 250, 300% ACoS, there's something wrong. There's something wrong and you're not converting enough. And that's where we see people not increasing their rank. And that's where we're seeing them not grow their business. So either that was because we did a bad job of vetting that product and we shouldn't have accepted it in the first place, or people significantly increase their price or the product ran out of stock. It's pretty rare that we see that. And if we do, we would usually recommend, hey, we're going to pause this campaign. We don't think we can help you for X, Y, or Z reasons. Or we would sit down with that customer and strategize and figure out, hey, why is this happening? What's going on? What can we do to improve it? But if you're sitting there 500% ACoS, like, I'm not going to encourage you to keep spending money.
Yeah, yeah, of course. Now, to start coming to an end on the Pixelmill South things, like, something I find a lot of value by implementing this strategy is also the fact that I can create an audience, right? Because all this data essentially get pixeled, right? So tell us a little bit about how that can also be leveraged beyond what we're already doing on Amazon. Yeah?
Yep. Great question again. So when you create a Google ad or Facebook ad, whatever it is, we'll just say Google again. Just like you said, you can add a Facebook pixel, you can add a TikTok pixel, Pinterest pixel, as many as you want, as long as you have that advertising console. So let's say I run a Google ad and I have a TikTok and a Facebook pixel, and you click on that ad. Let's say you have Facebook, then Facebook will add you into an audience inside of my Facebook ads account. Mm-hmm. And I won't know your name, I won't know your email, but I'll know you have clicked on my ad before. And Facebook will say, do you want to retarget Vincenzo? And of course, you have to pay to retarget Vincenzo. But that's what big companies like Procter & Gamble, UNICEF, and Bosch have been doing for over a decade. Retargeting is one of the most efficient uses of ad dollars. And not enough people in the Amazon industry are retargeting. D2C kicks our butt at this. You know, they've been finding traffic for a long time. Yeah. A lot of people on Amazon have taken it for granted because it was Amazon. So they didn't have to pay for the traffic. They just had to pay for the click. Which I guess is the same thing. But long story short, D2C is a lot better at finding traffic and retargeting it. And Amazon sellers are starting to get good at it, but we've been bad at it for a very, very long time. And just to finish that example, if let's say you had Facebook, you'd be added to an audience. If you didn't have TikTok, TikTok can't add you to that audience because you don't have a TikTok ads account. They can't identify you. So that's how pixels work. And yeah, inside of Pixelme, there's like 15 different ones. Google, Pinterest, Bing, LinkedIn, you name it, it's in there. And more people should be using that. And of course, I know, Vincenzo, that you also do DSP. And as you know, if you send any traffic to Amazon, you can retarget those people through DSP, which I think is a fantastic opportunity that everybody in China seems to have caught on to. They're crushing DSP. But for whatever reason, in the US, people had, you know, a lot of fear because there used to be very high minimums to even enter into DSP and things like that. But DSP is just a different flavor of the same thing, which is retargeting. And it's there's more than just retargeting. There's, you know, awareness and consideration in the full funnel, but retargeting is the huge part. That's where you're going to get the best ROI originally. Yeah. So retargeting is really important.
Yeah, DSP, I agree. Like, maybe we can start bringing this to the table. It's been something that also for our clients, we're seeing significant results, mainly because, first of all, now we have more visibility in terms of what is happening with the data. I feel the reason why DSP before many years ago got a bad reputation is, as you say, very big minimums. And also you didn't have AMC, Amazon Marketing Cloud. So you were kind of blind in terms of where the money was going. But now you can be very strategic in creating audiences, retargeting and all of that. So I'm keen to know a little bit more about that on your side, because I know you're mentioning something to do with DSP and also the referral bonus and all of that. So tell us a little bit about how that works, which sounds very interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. So Carbon6, you know, has a DSP seat, our own seat. It's called DSP Prime. And what we always do, and I think a lot of companies are missing this, is in 2023 at Amazon Accelerate, Amazon announced that you can retarget in a custom audience anybody that came through Amazon attribution. So if you build out that custom audience the way that it's, you know, publicly shown and taught by Amazon.com, you can get the brand referral bonus still, which can be, I mean, you know this, Vincenzo, but DSP in a lot of ways is is kind of what Amazon ads was like 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. It's not as saturated. You get a lot of eyeballs for a lot less money. And we're seeing a lot of times the return on ad spend being better than on Amazon advertising.
Yes.
And so when you combine all that together and then you add on the fact that you can retarget anybody that came through a Google link or a Pixel or a Facebook link, as long as you had an Amazon attribution tag, and you add in the brand referral bonus, it can have a significant increase on your you know, DSP ROAS. So it's really important to do that.
Yeah. Yeah. I think DSP as well, something that brings to the table, which people were not able to do before, is the retargeting side of things to some extent super, super powerful, because I mean, how much money we leave on the table by people that just have a look at our products or have interactions and we never touch with them again. Like, this is marketing 101, and we see people doing that all the time with Meta and Google. And the fact that now brands are able to do that is bringing a significant uplift in terms of the sales they can generate, you know.
If you ask me, like, what do you think the biggest mistake Amazon sellers have made on average? You know, there's some people that were good at it, but in the past 5-7 years, I would say not retargeting. The most expensive click you're ever going to spend is on that first click. You're paying for that first click. And if you're not retargeting and reminding that consumer about your product and nudging them in the right direction, you're going against like decades of proven marketing strategies and what all big companies have done for a very, very, very long time. There's not, you know, most people, when they make a purchasing decision, they don't just see something and click buy now right away. They do research. They need to be reminded. Sometimes they take time. Some people say it takes 5 impressions. Some people say 8 on average. Mm-hmm. But everybody agrees it's not 1, you know?
Yeah.
So the more impressions you can get, the better results you're going to have. And retargeting right now is not as saturated or as expensive as on Amazon advertising. It's a huge, huge opportunity.
Yeah. And I think to finish on the DSP, something I love as well, which is a metric we focus a lot on brands that want to increase their market share, is new to brand. Like, the option now to track how many new eyeballs are seeing your brand for the first time with DSP is a huge thing, because as you say, sponsor ads is getting saturated, but with DSP yet going to tap into placements, pockets of audiences that you weren't tap otherwise. So it's a huge thing when it comes to market penetration as well. Yeah.
Yes. It's incredible. Some of the results I see in the dashboard about the new to brand percentage, people that had never interacted with your brand before, and how many of those are coming through the full DSP funnel. And you're just missing out on that. If you're not using DSP, you're just missing out. Period.
Yeah. Now, something I want to start bringing to conclude our episode today is a little bit about, which is the topic I mentioned was going to be kind of surprised, is the mindset behind all of this, because I feel a lot of the things we mentioned when it comes to traffic and DSP, and you mentioned that a couple of times, is people being afraid to try these things, right? They don't have essentially the courage to try these things in their business, because most of the time, let's be honest, is because they don't understand it. And when you don't understand, you feel discouraged to even give it a try. But I guess at the end of the day, everything starts with having, you know, your first step forward and, you know, go step by step, and eventually a few months down the line, you build something that you didn't know you could build. So tell me a little bit about how you're seeing the mindset of sellers lately when it comes to implementing new strategies like this.
Yeah, I think, like, just taking one quick step back, I think that a lot of US sellers that I see, they feel a bit defeated sometimes. Like, maybe business was better 3 years ago or 2 years ago. This isn't everybody, but I hear it a lot when I'm out at events. Is, you know, hey, I just wish I could get back to, you know, when it was COVID and how great my sales were, or even prior to that. And they're trying, you know, this thing and that thing and this thing and that thing. And I think that what the right sellers are doing is they're saying, hey, listen, I just went to 10 events, or I watched 20 YouTube videos, and there's these 50 little things I could do. I got 50 hacks and 50 recommendations, but what's really going to move the needle? And I think people are hesitant with external advertising and DSP because it costs money, right? If you want to change your images or change your, you know, and what keywords you're indexing for, and play around a little bit with on Amazon advertising, all these things are incrementally helpful. I'm not saying that they shouldn't be done, but if you wake up and you only have so many hours in the day and your team isn't infinite, you have to prioritize, like, what is the most important thing I could do that is going to be the move the needle the most. And that's what I'm seeing. And Adam Heist has a YouTube video that he says it really, really well. He's like, I have these 20 things that I could do, these 20 tweaks, or I could do one big thing. And, you know, like, luckily now with DSP, and with external advertising, like with Pixelme, you don't have to be an expert. You don't have to be a Google Ads expert. You can outsource it. You don't have to be a DSP expert. You can outsource it. But if you do those two things, I don't see anything else at all. And I go to a lot of events and I do a lot of learning, as you know, Vincenzo. I don't see anything else in the market right now, I think, that can change your business overnight in such a fundamental way. And I mean that, like, seriously. I've seen this happen where customers start off with low budgets and they're kind of wary. And then like 1 month in, they're like, my God, can we 10X this? How do we scale this? They're just like, they get it, you know? But you got to jump in and see it first. Just from my mindset, like 2 years ago or 2.5 years ago, Pixelme had no integration with Amazon whatsoever. It had no integration with Google or Facebook. It was just a retargeting link generator, similar to Bitly. And Albert Farhi and myself saw an opportunity to build a Google, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok integration and connect it with Amazon attribution. And I'm with Justin Cobb, who you're friends with, Vincenzo, the CEO. And I was in sales at the time, and now I'm not. I'm general manager. But I said, you know, can I try this? Can I just like have a few months to go try to build this? And he was like, he took a risk. And he was like, sure. But I had to take that first step and ask him, you know, like, hey, I think this is like the biggest thing I could be doing. I can continue to sell this or that tool one by one, but other people are really good salesmen. They're doing a great job. We can find more of those, but I don't think that many people could go work with Albert and like try to build this out. Mm-hmm. And so he took a risk on me, and then it happened. And I think that's the mindset to have, is that you can always pull back. But if you have 25 things you can do, what is the one that is the most scary? Sometimes the most scary one's the most beneficial. And because you're the one to take the jump first, you're going to have an advantage over all the people that are sitting on the sidelines and not using external traffic, not using DSP. And because of that, you're going to win. Make sure you partner with honest and good people that are telling you whether or not it's, you know, you're at the right place in your business and your product is the right product to do it for. But as long as you partner with good, honest people, I think it is important to have a mindset of like, if I'm sitting out, I bet a lot of other people are sitting out. How long do I want to sit out, or when do I want to test this? There's a real benefit to first mover advantage.
Love it. I think there's no better way to like finish the episode with this message. I think I agree. I think at the end of the day, it's all about giving yourself the opportunity to try new things. But beyond that, making sure that you work with the right people. I have seen that so many times, like, and we know this in the industry, there's also so much smoke. So you need to do your diligence for sure. But going back and concluding your point, I also agree that DSP and external traffic is definitely one of those things, after going to so many events myself as well, that really can move the needle, for the mere fact that is building actually an asset for your business. What I mean by that is external traffic is building your organic rankings, building your awareness as a brand. DSP is also building your audience, which is an asset. It's also bringing the funnel, which is an asset, compared to other hacks that is only meant to bring incremental growth for 2 or 3 weeks and then they fade away, right? Here, you're actually building something that's going to become part of the brand and it's going to grow with the brand, right? So awesome, Clayton. So it's been a pleasure to have you. I guess for those that want to reach out and want to learn more from you and what you guys do at Carbon 6 with external traffic and DSP, how people can reach out.
Yeah, I'm on LinkedIn. So my name is Clayton Atchison. That's A-T-C-H-I-S-O-N. And then they can email me. My email is clayton@carbon6.io.
Awesome, Clayton. So pleasure. Looking forward to see you soon. I'm sure one of the upcoming events. Yeah.
Thank you so much, Vincent. I really appreciate you inviting me on. Thank you very much.
Pleasure. Bye-bye. Take care. Bye.
Thanks for listening to the E-Commerce Lab by Ecomc. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss an episode. While you are at it, we would appreciate it if you could leave an honest rating and review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen. That will make it easier for others to find out about the show and benefit from it. Want more? Visit our website at www.ecomc.com, where you can get your first consultation for free. Or find us on Instagram, Facebook, and LinkedIn at ecomc.